This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, the word is covenant. Covenant. It's not only the theme for the next 6 weeks' messages we have from the Jeremiah overall series, but let me tell you something. Your life has been impacted by covenant keepers and by covenant breakers. Even if the covenant breaker is you, your life has been impacted. Everything in life is covenant. If you won't have a mortgage, you're in a covenant relationship, whether you know it or not. If you borrowed money on a car, you're in a covenant agreement. If you have a student loan, you're in a covenant agreement. If you live in a subdivision where you had to sign that document, covenant agreement about what you can do or can't do in your subdivision, you're in a covenant agreement. If you're married, you're in a covenant relationship. All of life is based on covenants. All of life is impacted by covenants. And so today we're going to look at a passage in Jeremiah that one author said this. He said, "I feel this is one of the most important statements in all of the Old Testament," is what we're going to read today, where the Lord, speaking through Jeremiah, get this, talks about the old covenant. And here's what the Lord says: the time is coming when there will be a new covenant, a new agreement. And that covenant will be for us. And you and I are living under the new covenant, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's read the passage in Jeremiah 31 today. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord." Here's the new covenant. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their sins," or their wickedness, "and remember their sins no more." Underline that if you underline in your Bible. "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." I want to talk just for a moment about the difference between the old covenant that was established with Moses, Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and all the other laws that were given to him, and then the new covenant that we're under Christ. And this is not original with me, but it's a great way of phrasing it. The old covenant focused on physical sacrifices. The priest would make sacrifices regularly to atone for the sins of the people. The new covenant in Christ, one sacrifice, once and for all by the guiltless Christ. The old covenant was based on limited promises. The new covenant is based on limitless promises. The old covenant was based on external standards and rules. The new covenant is based on eternal and internal standards, called a new heart and a new mind in Christ. Before, there was limited access to God, but now there's unlimited access to God through Christ. Before, it was based on fear. Now it's based on love and forgiveness. Before, it was to obey the rules. Now it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the difference between the two covenants. Well, as I mentioned covenants at the beginning of the message, what covenants are you involved in? Well, if you're married, as I said earlier, you're in a covenant relationship, but you probably have a few more than that. We'll continue this message from Jeremiah 31 tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Those of you that are married, I want to ask you this question. What if your spouse came home one day and said this to you? "You know, I'm going to honor my covenant agreement with you. I'm going to honor my commitment to you. But the only reason that I'm doing that is because of fear of consequences if I don't." How would you feel? I'm going to honor this covenant, but the only reason I'm doing it is for fear of consequences. You might say, you know what? I want you to honor the covenant because you love me. I want you to honor the covenant because it's the desire of your heart to maintain the covenant and to build on the covenant and to strengthen the covenant. Do you think the Lord's any different? Is it any wonder that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and the second commandment after that is to love your neighbor as yourself? I want to do just a very brief verse by verse and then share some stories as we close. Verse 31 says, the time is coming, if we could bring that up. I love that phrase, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. There's somebody in this room here today, I don't know who you are, but the time is coming or the time is here for you to take seriously your commitment to Christ. The time is coming or maybe the time is here now. Are you a person who's constantly talking about what you're going to do and someday we're going to do this and someday we're going to do that? I don't know how many times in the ministry I've had people, young, middle-aged, old, tell me, someday we're going to get serious. And someday I'm going to do this for the Lord. And someday I'm going to get really involved in the kingdom of God. And then I stood over their casket at a church where they did not have the time to do that. Life was cut short. And all my point is not trying to be melodramatic, is that the time is coming has got to be a place in your life where you say, it's here. The time is here now. Let's look at verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. What's that a reference to? Under the Old Testament system, the Old Testament priest was the one who gave the truth to the people. He gave the law and said, this is what you must follow, this is what you must obey. But under the new covenant that Jesus established, the Holy Spirit comes into a man or woman's life when Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life. And I think this is what it's a reference to. The phrase, the time is coming, is a prophetic, messianic phrase. And when the Messiah comes, when Jesus, the Son of the living God, comes, he says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Do you know what that means? It becomes a part of you. You know that you're growing in the Lord. Get this. This is interesting. You know you're growing in the Lord when you don't have to look to a verse of Scripture necessarily to get some wisdom. A verse comes up in your spirit and you say, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I know the Word of God says this. That's the Word of God written in your heart and written in your mind. And the Holy Spirit will bring those Scriptures to mind as you familiarize yourself with the Scripture. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is intelligent enough to remind you of them. And I love that phrase, I will be their God and they will be my people. I don't know how many times in my lifetime I have heard people scream this. I've heard them whisper it. I've heard them barely audibly say it. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm thankful that people have the privilege of saying, oh my God, because that's what Jeremiah prophetically said. The time would come when people will say, my God, and I will say, my people, the Lord says. You have the privilege as a believer in Jesus Christ, not because of anything you've done, but because of everything Christ accomplished on the cross, to say, my Lord and my God. Let's bring up verse 34. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. I've been asked about that scripture before, about the Lord saying, I will remember their sins no more. It doesn't mean that God is senile. It doesn't mean the Lord becomes like a great-great-grandfather who can't remember what happened last week, let alone what you did 20 years ago. And, you know, somehow he just overlooks everything because he can't remember it. God chooses not to remember a sin that's under the blood of Christ. Would you listen to that again? You need to write it down. God chooses not to remember a sin that's under the blood of Christ. He makes a decision. I will remember their sins no more. Read an interesting article just this week about people who this author called retrievers. Not to be confused with the golden retriever of the personality test that some of you have taken. That's not what he's talking about. He said a retriever is a man or woman who is good or adept at confessing the sins of other people. A retriever is a man or woman who's good or adept at confessing the sins of other people. Please don't raise your hands, but some of you are married to a person who's very good at confessing your sins, but they never see their sin. There are parents who can confess the sins of their children and never think about their sins. And conversely, there are children, grown children, who can confess the sin of dad or mom, but never look at anything in their life. And people who do it with other people, and that's why he called them retrievers. And here's what I want you to go home with, which may be one of the most important things you will go home with. God's not a retriever. God is not a retriever in the sense that I'm speaking of, because he said, I will remember their sins no more. They're under the blood. They're under the blood of Christ, and I will remember their sins no more. And I believe that. And you have to accept that as the reality for your life or not. I think I didn't mention this in the first two services, but one of the most common things that I think I've talked to people about privately over lunch or in my office is this question: Randy, does God really forgive me? And I share these scriptures like Jeremiah and others, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's what it comes down to. You either believe the promises or you don't. It's all about believing the promises. And I just read one of the promises. God chooses to remember our sins no more. Years ago, studies were done after the Vietnam War to determine what methods used by the enemy had been the most effective in breaking the spirits of the POWs. Now think about it. What was done to prisoners that would break the spirit more than anything? Did you know what they found out? It wasn't deprivation physically. That wasn't it, as terrible as that was. It wasn't even the torture that was the most debilitating in terms of their spirit. What they found, what broke the prisoners more than anything else, was the destruction of relationships. As in one particular prison camp, every prisoner was in a stall, just big enough barely to stand in. And there was no contact with other prisoners. And as they destroyed systematically the relationship that one prisoner had with another, that was the most devastating thing of all, destroying relationships. You say, what's it got to do with me? Satan is the destroyer in your life and in my life.
We'll continue tomorrow on CrossHope, crosshope.org.
Satan is the destroyer in your life and in my life. I'm convinced that Satan wants to destroy relationships in your family. He wants to destroy relationships at work. He wants to destroy relationships in extended family, extended work. Anywhere there's people brought together, one of the titles for Satan is not just the father of all lies and not just the murderer from the beginning. One of the titles for Satan is he's the destroyer. What's he destroy? Relationships. What does he attempt to destroy? Relationships. And we're in a covenant relationship with the Lord God Almighty. I think one of the most powerful pieces of writing about what happened on September 11th, 2001, after the fact, came from Bill Hybels, who preaches in Chicago at Willow Creek Community Church, South Barrington, Illinois. He wrote a powerful piece that I want to share with you that relates to this passage. He said, after 9/11, 2001, I will never look at a firefighter the same way. I will never look at a firefighter the same way. What is it in someone, hundreds of them, as in New York City, to compel them to run into a burning building while everyone else is running out? What would compel them to run into a building just to save people they don't even know? They don't even know. Their bravery has become a part of our collective national legacy. Their bravery dignifies us all. I want to suggest to you that you will never look at the word covenant the same once you look at the cross. And once you realize what Christ did on the cross, what he suffered on the cross for you and for me, you'll never look at the word covenant the same, because it will determine everything you think about covenant. The word covenant does and should take on a holy significance. It is holy. We are in a blood covenant with the Creator of the universe. We're not talking being blood brothers with a buddy from college or a sister that you knew in high school, a friend. We're talking about a blood covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that was sealed with His blood. We are in a covenant relationship with the God who made us through His Son. How does the covenant happen? It happens when I acknowledge everything that Jesus did on the cross. It happens when I say with my mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, and I accept Him as the Lord of my life. It's evidenced when we obey Him in baptism. It's evidenced by the life we live. It's evidenced by our interest in spiritual things. It's evidenced by a changed man or a changed woman. Jeremiah said, the time's coming when there's a new covenant. Come with me to the Last Supper in that upper room, and Jesus is having communion. He's having the Passover feast with His disciples. And Luke says it this way, Jesus lifted up the cup. And here's what He said, this cup is the new covenant. You talk about a Kodak moment when Jesus said to some Jewish disciples, this is the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about in Jeremiah 31. They instantly knew what He was talking about. I really believe that the time is coming when a new covenant will be established, and Jesus said, it's here. It's here. It's in everything Jesus Christ did and what He is.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, I'm going to conclude with a story that, believe it or not, I couldn't even tell in the first service. I barely got through it in the second service that morning, and I did tell it in the third service, and that's what you're going to hear tomorrow. The concluding story that's one of the most emotional, gut-wrenching stories, not for you to hear, but for me to tell, and I'm just being honest with you. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
I only have two or three stories in my file of stories that I honestly don't tell because I can't get through them. I just can't, but I did. I was able to get through this one. I didn't even use it in the first service. I just knew I couldn't do it, but I told it second. I want to close with this. Ron Davis is an author I've heard speak over the years a couple of places. He writes about a family from the San Francisco Bay Area by the name of the Kraft family, just like the milk products, Kraft, K-R-A-F-T. They lived in South Bay, California. David Kraft was a young 32-year-old man who had a father who constantly reminded him of God's faithfulness. And David was led in a right relationship with the Lord and became a believer. He grew up to be in love with the Lord and felt the call of God on his life to go into the ministry. David was a big, athletic young man. At age 32, get this, he was 6 feet, 2 inches tall, and he weighed 200 pounds. He worked with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as a speaker. I don't know if I can get through this part of the story because it's pretty moving, but here's what happened. That dear young man was diagnosed as having cancer. It racked his body, and over a period of time, he dropped from 200 pounds in weight to 80 pounds. Now, you do the math. 6 feet, 2 inches tall, 200 pounds, and you drop to 80 pounds. When he was about ready to pass from this life into eternity, David Kraft asked his father to come into his hospital room. Lying there in the bed, he looked up and said, Dad, do you remember when I was a little boy how you used to just hold me in your arms close to your chest? David's father nodded. Then David said, Dad, do you think you could do that just one more time? Just one more time? Again, his father nodded. He bent down to pick up his 32-year-old, 6-foot-2-inch son, 80 pounds in weight, held him close to his chest so that his son's face was right next to his, eyeball to eyeball. Tears streaming down both faces. Now here's the touching part, if that wasn't already. The son simply said to his dad, Dad, thank you for building the kind of character into my life that will enable me to face a moment like this. Would you listen to that again? Dad, thank you for building the kind of character into my life that can enable me to face a moment like this. Do you realize what I just read a few moments ago? God just doesn't want to put character into you or me. God says, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. He wants to give you himself through his Holy Spirit. That's not hocus pocus. That's not ethereal. That's not otherworldly. It's reality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I go back to that first phrase, the time is coming. You may say today, privately, the time's coming when I'm going to get serious with the Lord. It's coming. I know it is. Maybe today is the time. Maybe all of time has led up to this moment. Perhaps. Maybe not. But for someone today, in your heart right now, at least, at the very least, you will say, today's the day that I decide that I have a covenant relationship with the Lord that impacts every other covenant relationship I have. It changes the way I look at the word covenant because I look at the cross. And just as Bill Hybel said, I'll never look at a firefighter the same way. You'll never look at the cross and you'll never look at your covenant relationship the same way when you know what it cost. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the covenant relationship that we have with you. The covenant relationship we can have with you today when we acknowledge everything that we're not and everything you are.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.